Yeah, welcome to Occam's Razor, episode 27. I'm your host, Jim Birchall. We're doing a show again tonight, thanks to the lockdown in New Zealand via the Anchor app. So thanks to our friends at Anchor for allowing us the Fandangle technology to make this happen. Tonight, we're going to be talking reptilians. I'm pretty excited about this. One of our regular guys, Sam Collier, is on the show from Haunted Auckland. How are you, Sam?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. You can hear us all right down there?
Yep, I can hear you fine.
That's what we want. Now, we've got an aficionado on reptilians and, well, the possibility of reptilians and the theories behind them. Dan Bagnall, he's come on the show. How are you hearing us, Dan?
Loud and clear. Thanks, Jim.
Loud and clear. You're a little bit patchy, so just maybe move around a little bit with your phone, Dan, but we should be all right. Now, Dan, I'm going to kick us off. In terms of strength in my paranormal game, reptilians probably aren't my number one thing. It's not something I've researched thoroughly, but I know in the past you and I have had quite pointed, interesting conversations around the concept of reptilian humanoids. What I know is basically what I hear from David Icke and through his various publications and through his followers and videos and all that sort of thing, coupled with videos of supposedly of world leaders and captains of industry and stuff turning into reptilians before our eyes. What got you interested in the whole thing?
Well, I picked up on YouTube a guy called Michael Tarizian, and he's quite interesting because his background is around symbology. And he writes and has basically put together theories more around kind of a pre-existing kind of alien race that was involved in genetic splicing of human DNA of like kind of the native, what you call the native species of the planet with other DNA of other humans to one kind of create a bit of a slave race. So I find Michael's interesting for the fact that he goes back and he draws on biblical scripture.
Yep.
And also a lot of older text rather than kind of going off of video and modern media, right? It can be manipulated. I think the story that this guy tells is quite convincing because it's just so old. You know, like why would somebody go to that much effort, like, you know, several hundred years ago to explain about something that could be happening in these secret kind of occults that were happening at that point in time, and also kind of things that predate and go back as far as like kind of Egyptian times as well.
Yeah,
sure. Which I find quite interesting. So it kind of supports, for me, it's kind of like the base bit of information that supports this more contemporary theory about the reptilian race.
Sure.
You know, so I'm kind of, it could be there, like they could definitely exist. There's definitely evidence of kind of, you know, people being manipulated kind of biologically through gene splicing and stuff like that. So kind of, you know, there's lots of things that kind of start connecting dots with this more contemporary thing about having a reptilian race on a planet and shapeshifters and stuff like that. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sam. Now, I came to you obviously for the show, and off air you told me that again, reptilians probably weren't your focus, your attention. You tend to lean more towards the paranormal side of things as opposed to the you know, gene splicing, all this sort of thing Dan's talking about. But where do you sit on this debate?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of reptilian races through media and pop culture and that sort of thing. I'm not necessarily a follower of the reptilian storyline or anything like that. I'm interested in hearing about it. I'm always open to new ideas and things like that. I'm interested, put it that way.
Well, we had a conversation a few weeks ago, I think, about the, now how do you pronounce these alien visitors? The Anunnaki, is it? Anunnaki? We were talking about them, weren't we? Those sort of original ancient aliens. Now, research, well, not my research, but David Icke's research his contention is that we've somehow spawned, or the reptilians sort of spawned from these ancient astronauts and it was obviously a something that happened. I think he's saying 200,000 to 300,000 years ago, so obviously quite in the past, but which is in, you know, opposition to Dan's theory of you're thinking this gene splicing and stuff that points towards a more modern argument.
I think they're definitely interconnected, like David Icke says in the same, like, so David Icke and Michael Torres, you know, obviously on the same thing, right, with regard to the Anaki and the serpent people,
yeah,
and kind of the Inohim, and kind of their kind of development of what they call Adam 1 and Adam 2, right?
Yeah.
So if they can manipulate, right, because you've got people that basically just put their hands on their heart and say, look, this is fact, right? So if you kind of take that as kind of gospel, right, from these two sources, and okay, so what are the possibilities? If they can splice and manipulate quite a complex DNA sequence of a human and their DNA, because they're masters of manipulating these genes, right? They've got very, very advanced technology. And so it kind of, again, like I said, it kind of connects the dots that they could be splicing anything to make anything, right? And,
yeah,
and if you go back in mythology, you know, you have half horses and half men, you know, like, and you've got all of these different kind of cross genetic things, like the Pegasus, so you know, you've got these interesting things in mythology that kind of start kind of ringing true when you kind of gather all of the information and say, let's change the timeline and make the timeline closer together, right? So like the Anaki basically turned up between 30,000 and 50,000 years ago, they arrived. And then around that time, you see some pretty interesting things happen with the development of the planet. And then also other things that are written around the other planets, like supposedly one popular belief is that there was another planet around Venus. Now that was basically just a big asteroid belt. So you've got a gap, you know, between two planets.
Yeah.
And supposedly that's where they said they were originally inhabiting, but were actually hiding on Earth, and that was quite a water planet as well. So, and then there's kind of more stories around the war of attrition and the change that they had of the war that they had on Earth, and then we get into the Atlantis thing as well.
Are you thinking that these guys have come to Earth basically to rape this resource and conduct their experiments on us or use us? And, you know, are we talking about the simulation theory here, Sam, or what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, there is that simulation theory, isn't there? My question would be, well, you know, what is the reason with splicing with humans? Is it to create a superior race, or is it, as you say, to exploit and maybe make us as slaves or something like that? I hear a lot about the reptilians as shapeshifters, and maybe they're controlling some of the higher powers and things like that. My question is why? What do they have to gain from it?
Yeah, and why, if they're this, you know, supposed sort of higher being, why are they hiding in plain sight? You know what I mean? Why haven't they revealed themselves to us? What's keeping them from doing that, Dan?
So my understanding is that they were chased here, right? So this is a pretty evil kind of race of people that feed off people's energy, right? And they need negative energy to survive. So, you know, another concept is that there's this kind of solar cleansing that's happening at this photon belt that's traveling through the universe, and that they had to keep basically in front of it. And they were chased, if you want, by the kind of intergalactic police, which are other races, like the Greys, to kind of contain them. And they kind of hit on Earth and they went underground to kind of hide their identity. And then through the use of gene splicing and this manipulation, they basically needed to generate a slave race. so they could have people to basically get their food, and also a populace so they could feed off their energy as well.
So
So, you
they're
know, they're.
populating the planet, but to feed off the energy. So they're making their resource bigger. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, and also, you know, they didn't want to till the fields or like go milk the cows or change the TV. They wanted, you know, they wanted another. They basically wanted a slave race to do it, and that's why they did the gene this gene splicing. But supposedly, you know, it didn't go too well for them because when they did the first load of gene splicing, they imparted not only their knowledge, their full knowledge of the universe, but also the full knowledge that was gained, like in the human as well. They didn't take humanity into account. So when they spliced it, they basically gave all knowledge of the universe and all knowledge of self and all knowledge of presence and how man is connected to the matrix and the Mother Earth.
Sure.
And what and then happened with that is because man was fully conscious through its third eye and it had understanding of this technology around it. They're like, well, hey, hold on. If we're just as powerful as the people that are trying to enslave us, why don't we kind of enforce, basically rebel, which is what they did. And then supposedly that didn't go too well. So there was an exodus to a place called La Lemuria.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, so that's quite a common name that pops up. And so there's a mass exodus to Lemuria. So what the Anarchy had to do is then, produce another slave race, which they call Adam 2.
Yep.
And what they did with Adam 2 is they basically gave Adam 2 a complete spiritual lobotomy. So they split the genes in half, and they're like, well, we've created kind of like a bipolar person, you know, they are not centered. They do not have a connection to Mother Earth, and they do not have a connection to the universe. They don't have the kind of the ability to use the 400% of their brain, so they don't have telepathy, and they don't have the other cool things that we're able to do, like communicate without kind of talking and stuff like that with each other. So by keeping that race naive and blind, they were able to control them better, and that's kind of what we've got as what I call modern man, right? This Adam too.
So
So,
we're sort of children of the matrix, so to speak.
well, we've been removed from the matrix, right? So if you call the matrix being interconnected with the tree of life, right? So if you think the tree of life has got roots in the ground and roots in the air, so we're no longer generally part of this earth. If you look at like Aboriginal culture or indigenous cultures of the planet, like the real old ones, they're all connected to Mother Earth, and Mother Earth is a deity. Whereas through kind of manipulation of media and religion and cultures, right, which gets back to the Illuminati, Freemasons, and all of those things, this race has infiltrated those secret societies and changed their agendas, right? And again, like Michael Taurasian talks about that. If you YouTube him, there's a really good lecture that he does. It's about 2 hours long. If you Google Michael Taurasian in a conspiracy conference 2005, and also the origins of evil, it comes and kind of he explains all of this in great depth. He gives some really strong evidence for kind of the things that have happened and how politics has been manipulated way back from, you know, Freemasons and the Knights of the Round Table and kind of all of those things, and even further back through to Egyptian politics and stuff like that as well. So,
So
and he
it's all
uses
pre the
symbolism
way
to explain
we
it.
live now and the way we've evolved is all predetermined by the by these visitors.
Absolutely.
What do you think, Sam? Are you an ancient alien subscriber?
Yeah, probably more so than your traditional religion. I mean, I don't necessarily follow anything, but I do like the idea of ancient aliens. I mean, I find the idea quite fascinating. But I mean, as to
And
what,
to me, quite plausible as well. I
yeah,
mean,
I mean,
you know, we get pretty arrogant here on Earth, thinking we're sort of not only the only people in the universe, but also the, you know, been around longer than anyone else, which just can't be true, really, can it?
Yeah, I mean, literally speaking, the writing's on the wall. You know, if you look at hieroglyphs and things like that, you can interpret what you want from them. I mean, I prefer to think that maybe there is something to them. I mean, that's my personal opinion.
And we've reverted back to those with emojis now, haven't we?
That's so, right, yeah.
History does repeat, so to speak. Looking at the pop culture element of things, Dan, in terms of reptilian stuff, obviously it's been bastardized a lot, you know, people putting up memes of people's pupils sort of elongating and all this sort of stuff and then becoming reptilian on screen. Do you place any credence in any of these videos or photos that you've come across? Obviously, we're in the age of photo and video manipulation, which is offensive.
I think it could be, like, to be honest, like, to think that Justin Bieber's a reptilian or Elvis is a shape-shifting reptilian, or, you know, like, it's kind of like, this to me is, you know, the kind of a way that these secret societies operate, right? Like, they give kind of false news to, like for a society and, say, a race that's been on the planet, right, going back maybe 50,000 years, for them to be that blatant, right, and to have it exposed by technology that they very clearly control, right? The technology that caused the massive kind of Earth and polar shift when they had a massive war between Adam 1 and themselves, and the kind of which evolved to the loss of Atlantis. I suppose you want to call it disinformation, right? For secret societies that have been so well guarded and controlled the information and the lake, just to go, oh, look, here's a video of Justin Bieber blinking his eyes in the wrong direction, right in the middle of court. It's like, possibly some disinformation, right, to kind of go
to hide the bigger picture.
To hide the bigger picture, right, to kind of to go, well, oh yeah, we're the sons of the serpent, which is the serpent's actually, you know, the DNA and the manipulation of the DNA, and it's a pure symbolism for the DNA helix.
Do you give any credence to the theory that the Bible was a source of misinformation to distract everyone for the past sort of 2,000 years?
I don't think the Bible is misinformation. I think, like, if you look, I did 2 years of kind of introductory to art history, right? And so that's kind of why Michael Tarezzi kind of connects the dots for me, because he goes back and he looks at paintings and some symbology and the symbolism and stuff like that. And I think back then, you know, like, a lot of the things that artists did back then was kind of show off and have kind of like this kind of inner circle joke, and they would put symbols places and stuff like that. Whereas in kind of a train spotting modern society like we are now, it's a bit too dangerous to do that, right? So I think, you know, like, the Bible says some pretty honest stuff. I think the Bible says some, like, especially New Testament, says some other stuff that's just completely, you know, contradictory on itself, because you're in New Testament.
But it's, I mean, a lot of the Bible's, you know, what we would consider supernatural, wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like, it talks, you know, it brings, yeah, it talks a lot about serpents. And it's even, like, if you look at the Adam and Eve, you know, if we're talking about Adam being kind of constructed and built by the Anaki to be a slave, and then kind of Eve, right? Eve was enticed by the serpent. So the story around that is that basically the first Adam that they built, the one that had the full knowledge about life, the earth, and kind of the other dimensions in the space and universe, basically went into the Garden of Eden to save Adam 2, which was the one that had the spiritual lobotomy. You know, and Adam 2, he wasn't interested, right? So, but Eve was interested. And that kind of also draws parallels to kind of the suppression of women for many, many centuries, right? And how kind of that's always all to the Bible as well, which is cool. So, yeah, I know. There's lots of parallels.
And also, as you say, parallels, because, I mean, you've got Adam, be it one or two, being tempted by the serpent. Maybe the serpent is, you know, an allegory for these reptilian people. I don't know. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I mean, you've also mentioned that, you know, these reptilians lived underground as well. It also might be a little nod to what we believe as hell or Hades, you know, where these evil creatures live underground, and that's where we believe that they came from. To me, it sounds like a bit of a nod to that as well.
Dan, I was just thinking, when you talk about gene splicing, are you saying that these creatures, for lack of a better term, reptilians, let's just call them, you know, they're interfering with, we talked about the Adam 1, the Adam 2 project, but are they currently still interfering with human DNA, with human test subjects, or is this a historical thing whereby reptilian people have been successfully bred over generations by parents that carry the genes?
I think so. I think like modern, like contemporary man, as we have been, say, for the last, definitely, say, the last 25,000 years, we've all got a form of alien DNA in us, right? And I think that's very, very apparent. And, you know, there are some beliefs that are kind of more traditional and older religions that predate Christianity and things like the Kabbalah and Kabbalah Buddhism and yoga kind of undoes some of this alien DNA and will help you reconnect to like a higher consciousness and the universe and other things, which kind of is
so I've got to think of things existentially as opposed to sort of in the way we approach things in our own mind now. So it's sort of it's an interdimensional, because we're dealing with interdimensional beings, it's sort of, we've got to be carried off to that place as well. Is that sort of the thinking? It's higher thinking, higher learning?
Yeah, well, it's kind of, if we've got, say we're constructed with DNA that shuts off accessing parts of our brain, right? But, you know, like it's quite commonly known, if we were able to access more of our brain, we would be able to do some pretty impressive things, you know, like a lot of the science speculates, right, that we could have telepathy, that we could communicate non-verbally with each other, that we'd be able to see in another dimension, that would, you know, like just, you know, would have an expanded consciousness. So to have people refer back to, hey, look, if you kind of practice yoga or meditation, you'll kind of unlock that kind of alien DNA, and you'll start unlocking.
What about experimenting with, you know, DMT? There's a lot of talk about DMT with the being the spirit and that sort of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, no, absolutely, and it's very interesting as well. I don't know too much about it. I've kind of looked a little bit at it and read some things on it, but yeah, that's like a perfect example of another thing that, you know, here's a chemical where all of a sudden we're unlocking a whole new dimension and ability to our brain just by ingesting, you know, some like boiled up bark and roots and stuff.
So our existence is linked by our brains effectively. So we need an outside agent to open up the part of the brain that's, you know, susceptible and makes us aware of this other sort of dimension or realm or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, well, I think it's just knowledge. Like people say that the indigenous people, so let's just go back to the Aborigine, right? The Aborigine, to me, I think they're a non-manipulated species, right? And they've unfortunately, just through kind of contemporary society and modern society, they've been disenfranchised. But if you look at kind of their teachings and how they communicate, they're constantly communicating through rhythm and vibration to the world around them, right? So if you look at kind of the world at a physical level, everything vibrates, and that's the same in the universe as well. So you can kind of scale that up and down the fractal. Everything's got a vibration, and they had knowledge of that, you know. So they knew how to communicate with the earth and the things around them. So why doesn't modern man have that type of information available to them? Like, why isn't it instinctual, you know?
Sam, where do you sit with that?
I'm not too sure what to take of that one, but
Not for you, that one.
yeah. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting concept. I mean, I like.
Get us under their control before the gene splicing, the experimentation, that sort of thing happens. David Icke has proposed that we're sucked in by TV and we mind control. He's got that famous quote about it, how it's being run by absolutely or unbelievably sick individuals with, you know, massive agenda, that sort of stuff. And that's, you know, we sit there just with our eyes prone on the thing, and they're controlling our minds, and we're becoming kind of Manchurian candidates to their sort of evil lizard experiments and that sort of thing. Is that the way you see things happening now? Or do you, I mean, we spoke about obviously there being a lineage, and original creationism over sort of 30 or 50,000 years or whatever it is. But if they want to enslave more people, are they conducting these sort of experiments? How are they getting into people's minds?
I think just like mainstream media, right, and fear and panic, I think that's something that's pretty blatant that you can, like, you don't need to be an expert to kind of look at the information, and you go through the different kind of, when you're in the States or you're watching CNN or Fox News and stuff like that, you just compare that to you know, other ways that information has been passed on or is delivered. So I think for in the States, you know, I think a big one is the delivery of the media. I don't have too much information on kind of mind control, other than, you know, a bit about kind of the hurts that is emitted by television, and by certain audio frequencies that are given off to help you concentrate and focus
Well,
on TVs. But
sorry, you talked earlier about
yeah, other than that,
vibration,
I don't
didn't
have
you?
too much information. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of more on two levels. So on a like a physical level, and then you've also got a quantum,
Yeah.
a quantum level of vibration as well, which is,
Because that's
which moves into like a home territory and stuff, which I know very,
Sam,
very little
that's
about.
kind of the theory, one of the theories you employ with ghosts, isn't it? That everyone kind of has a frequency, doesn't it? And then obviously we've talked about energy transfer and cause manifestation. But if that's true that everyone has a frequency, obviously that would be a pretty easy way to get inside people's minds, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of theories that center around, traveling through energy and things like that. I mean, you think of things like how does Blu-ray and oh sorry Bluetooth work? Transferring information from one device to another.
I'm still fascinated by fax machines, to
Yeah,
be honest.
exactly. I mean, how do these things work exactly? And just the transfer of information from one device to another. Imagine if that could be tapped between humans or different species and things like that. How does that information get balled up and sent from one to the other?
Yeah, it's over my head, a lot of that, you
And
know. It's over my head that they can run a cable from, you know, New Zealand to Australia under the sea, and, you know, I could be speaking to my mate in Sydney or something like that. I mean, wow, it sounds basic now, but that kind of thing still blows my mind, you know.
Certain things like what happens to our consciousness when we die, where does it go? Does it die with us, or does energy can't die necessarily, so where does it go? And
No,
is our consciousness
no.
stored inside that energy?
My feeling is, I'll bring Dan in on this in a second, but my feeling is that once your brain switches off, it's dead. You know, there's might be electrical impulses and so forth still bumping through it. And as you say, the consciousness, they're looking at, you know, obviously now they're looking at uploading it to computers and all sorts of carry on. But for me, once the brain switched off, you know, and the cerebral cortex and all that, you know, you're dead, kaput. Where that energy goes, that's obviously the $64,000 question, isn't it?
Right.
So, Nose, what do you think, Dan?
I think energy is transferred, right? Because I think that's a common thing through the universe, right? Energy is always transferred. It either turns into heat or, you know, like it's quite similar. So I think the consciousness and the energy of a person, kind of like, you know, to pull on popular culture, you know, and use the force, I definitely believe, you know, that there is something like the force. You know, like simple things like people can have might have experienced this where they got to pull their phone out of their pocket, you know, like 5 or 10 seconds before the phone rings. Phone's not ringing, but how do they know to pull the phone out of the pocket and then they go answer and go, oh, I just thought I'd pick up my phone because you were going to ring me.
They do talk about, you know, like, people being on the same wavelength, don't they? Maybe it could be a case of people having their.
Yeah.
Having their sort of their chi's aligned, you know, their vibrations, their energy sort of transfers between each other, or, you know, allowing for that sort of anticipation to happen.
Well, maybe our brains are just one big giant receiver and we don't know it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're at Sinful.
Yeah, exactly. So what if these guys like David Icke and Michael Darwin were right. You know, we've had a lobotomy that we can now not communicate with each other. We can't have a hive mind. We can't kind of simultaneously, like, well, now we can through computers. But what if we had the ability to kind of talk and transpose ideas 500, 1,000 years ago, like, between each other as a collective race? No, you'd find that somebody who's trying to control
us. The feeling, one thing that's always bugged me a little bit, though, about this whole ancient astronaut and, you know, they've been here before and all this sort of stuff, is if you're starting a colony or an experiment or something like that, why would you start with the, you know, least advanced technology and let the experiment fend for itself, particularly if it was, you know, you were trying to harness their energy or something? Wouldn't you have given them all the tools at your disposal first up?
Yeah, well, so there's a theory on that as well, that kind of, you know, like, they had all the technology, right, on Atlantis, and Atlantis was their home base, and then you had this kind of massive apocalyptic war that was so big that it actually shifted the Earth on its axis and destroyed everything, pretty much destroyed the whole planet, destroyed the most of the populace. And those that were hiding underground survived. And then you had those of Adam 1 who survived, kind of grew their, basically everyone started from scratch, and they just got put back into, you know, the Dark Ages. There was no technology. Everything just stopped working. So that's kind of one theory for it of why, excuse me, if they had all of this kind of technology to be able to do this miraculous stuff with gene splicing and changing people's DNA, and, you know, where's the technology gone? Why isn't there any technology around, and why is there no evidence of it? And that's kind of maybe a convenient explanation, but also kind of, you know, kind of points us in the right direction that it's quite possible, you know, because there is very clear geological evidence that there was a major event that caused kind of axis and pole shifting on the planet. Some people say it was a massive meteor hit.
That would have to be a hell of an impact, though, wouldn't it, to make that sort of shift?
Oh, yeah, massive.
I don't know. What do you think, massive. Sam? Do you think we've been, you know, we've been manipulated too from the start, and the whole thing's what we're living in now is a continuation, and they're sort of looking at down on us in our petri dish and saying, you guys have messed another one up, you know what I mean? Or do you think a lot of this is introduced, or do you think they pick and choose with us? Do you think they travel from their dimension, they come back and forward, or they plant their seeds here, then come back and check on us like you would with any crop, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, well, the crop analogy was the one that I was going to use as well. I mean,
no, were you?
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, maybe we're not at the point where they want us to be yet, if that's the case.
We're not ripe.
We're not ripe yet. Maybe you know, they just let the lame ones kill each other off first, and then, you know, the advanced race is the result.
Yeah. What's your take on the coronavirus, Dan? Man-made, or could I have friends been involved?
I don't know. A pandemic. You know, Bill Gates told us to, like, kind of, you know, several years ago, kind of watch out, prepare.
But he's a guy in
his position. Notice.
He's, you know, he could guy. Be half reptilian.
But again,
maybe he's just jumped. Yeah. You know, maybe he's the stormtrooper that defected.
Could be. Well, I was just going to go back to the harvesting kind of, and make a, like, just point out the popular culture film, Jupiter Ascending, right? That's got Mila Kunis in it, and that's exactly about harvesting humans. It's got reptilians in it. It's got people hiding on other planets that we can't see on some pretty fancy spaceships. So the coronavirus, I don't know, right? Sickness is sickness, I think. It's interesting. My understanding of a virus is, yeah, sure, you can pick it off the surface, but it needs to kind of originally get into the human bloodstream. So is that punctured the skin and injected so it can actually, you know, form and develop properly so it can be passed from human to human? But I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention to it because it's not, you know, it's not aliens and it's not something.
So, Sam, coronavirus, you know, is this man-made? Is this something that's been added to our little petri dish by these reptilian outsiders? What do you think?
I don't think it's alien in origin, that's for sure. But I'm not too sure where I sit on the coronavirus at the moment. I mean, the more you hear about it, the more it makes you wonder as well. But I mean, either way,
come on, Sam, don't be a sheep.
it's not one for humanity at the moment. I mean, it's still keeping me busy, put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a strange one. If you're going to inflict look, for me, if you had mass control of the world, you know, through mass hypnosis via people's TV and phone and all that sort of carry on, why would you unleash a piddly little virus, you know what I mean, to kill however many people it's killed now? Was it 60,000, 70,000, 80,000, yeah, something like that? Wouldn't you just, you know, something in one fell swoop?
Well, let's change the concept of it to controlling people to controlling economies, right? So how do you control an economy? If you can't control an economy via the television, by the people, right? And say if it's a redistribution of wealth, right? You look at the American stock market, right, and what it's done for the global economy, you know, and kind of the actions of certain people in certain countries buying stocks and stuff like that. I think with this is a definitely a follow the money. That's why I don't have an opinion in yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, because we're still in the middle of it, you know. But I think this is definitely a follow the money. Who ultimately is going to end up with the global power at the end of it, you know? And, you know, Donald could be right. Blame China. I don't want to say that because, you know, I think it's still too early in the piece. And also it's quite a kind of, semi-sensitive thing to be talking about because it's basically crippled the planet. And it's like, well, how is everything going to kind of survive and rebuild? And I think it's
interesting the clarity you had with the media. Obviously, earlier we were talking about, you know, reptilians getting their message across via Fox News and all that sort of carry on. But we've seen a lot of redundancies in the media recently. Big media houses like German places like Bauer, which shut down on operation, that stuff. Do you think there's anything, or is
Yeah,
that tenuous?
no, that's I know someone who works in Bauer, and he's been here for like over a decade, and that was just a very simple. If you look at those publications, they're all their paper publications versus online publications. They were earmarked to be made redundant at some point in time.
Well, obviously,
So I
yeah,
don't,
obviously that was a local,
I don't
yeah,
think,
it's a local example, but
I understand you saying it, but
yeah, who knows? Who really knows what's going on?
Right. So his balance. So sorry, because I this is
No,
new
but
information.
no,
And
just
so
in New
his
Zealand.
balance
Obviously, they've
globally gone under as
offloaded
well.
an unproductive asset, is the way I look at it.
Yeah,
No,
yeah.
I was just drawing a long bow between that, the manipulation of the media and that sort of stuff, maybe at when it's why it's most at risk, but it's probably just simple economics in the end.
No, definitely is known that they had a team. If you look at what it took to produce, so they had a team of 250 staff. There was only like a total of five publications. That's a big team. Once you put that thing online and it's all become digital, then half the issues that you've got just
Yeah,
disappear. So
absolutely. And
the
I
requirements for
work
staff
in print media,
disappear
obviously, and I know
as well.
the backs are against the wall a little bit. Not so much at the community level because you still have your local advertisers and stuff. But once the big guns pull their money, you're in trouble. And everything's sitting on a knife edge. It's a brave new world of journalism. Everything's online and the content's all free. And who's Sam, who do you think came up with the idea of making everything free online? I'm talking newspapers, subscription websites or things that used to subscribe to, magazines, apps, all that sort of stuff. Just trend, or is that, has there been some nefarious involvement somewhere along the line by the powers that
I
be?
know. I mean, it comes across as a bit of a demand, especially in these times. It comes across as they're trying to be kind to the people staying at home and that sort of thing as well. But
Yeah,
yeah,
kind.
it's one of those things where I think it could be seen as a money-making thing. Give it to them free now and then charge them later. But yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I'm not reaping the benefits of staying at home getting all these freebies at the moment anyway. So,
Well, exactly, but it's strange, it's they're so dependent upon advertising, that is the first thing. You can't provide a or produce a product for nothing. People have to get paid, production costs come into it. I know from obviously in journalism, but also from retailing, that particularly young people now expect everything for free, and a lot of that comes on the back of apps and gaming and all that sort of carry on. Is this the new thing? Is this the new way we're being dictated to by having sort of a false prophet and saying, you can have this for free, and then they're hooked, I remember David Icke, I was talking about one of his quotes earlier, the one about so I've just lost it here. But TV being run by unbelievably sick individuals. If they're the same people, which they probably are, that are running sort of media channels and new media and all that sort of stuff, then we should watch out for this because no one gives anything away for free, really, do they?
No. No
No.
such thing as a free lunch.
No, absolutely. That old saying still holds weight today,
That's
doesn't
right.
it? We've come to the fun part of the show. We're just going to talk about some famous reptilians or alleged reptilians. My personal favorite, just because he looks creepy, and he's been evasive to questioning by the FBI, is Prince Andrew. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean,
He looks dodgy, doesn't
he
he?
does, yeah. I mean,
If anyone was going to be half Komodo dragon, it would be him, wouldn't it?
well,
Definitely. I think anyone in the
blue blood,
royal lineage anywhere in the world, or
yeah,
has any,
any lineage. So
definitely for
we're
sure,
talking
for
about all
sure,
the sort of kings and
for
queens
sure.
of
They've been
Europe and
safe,
all
yeah.
that sort of stuff as well. They're all in on it. All the big families and Rockefeller and all that sort of stuff. What about America's?
Yeah, well, where did they sit? Were the Kennedys ever connected
I don't think
to
officially. I think
the
they've always
Illuminati or the
been,
Freemasons at all?
sort of the working man. They've been reasonably liberal despite their relatively privileged upbringing. I think they played a lot on being coming from Irish immigrants, 150 years ago, all that sort of stuff, building their way up with the American dreams.
I don't think coming from Ireland that they'd be reptilian. You know, there's
So it's
whatever
a
known
so it's a
places
ge
there,
there is a geographical
really
bias to
of it.
reptilians. They come from, well, where do they come from is the first thing. Where do you see the most prevalence of them?
Well, I think if you go back to where the Anunnaki were originally based, right, and you go back to the theory of Atlantis about being like, kind of up geographically, I just kind of lost my bearings. Kind of, around where you'd kind of assume Vikings came from, right, in
No,
that kind of area up
no one
there.
really
But
knows where Atlantis was,
as
though,
you
do
know,
they? That's
you're
the
quite
issue.
versed on this. Well, I think it's like I had it explained to me by someone saying it's kind of like the Roman Empire, right? Atlantis, there was like a place. It wasn't a continent, but it's more like a city in a particular location. But it had like outcrops and it had outposts kind of all the way through Europe, and so you've got these people running around looking for Atlantis, going, "Oh, I've unturned a rock," and there's like an Atlantean subscription on the
I
bottom
mean,
of it.
I've
It's like,
heard
well, yeah, that could just
yeah,
be,
I've heard of it
it's
mentioned
not.
everywhere from sort of
Yeah, it
Greece
wasn't a
to
continent.
Macedonia to, even the Bahamas. Because I think in Bimini, when they found those, those strange sort of sculptures or buried sort of city or under the, under the ocean there, that obviously piqued a lot of people's interest. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I'm just thinking, serious question. Reptilians, are they warm-blooded or cold-blooded? Geographically, does that make a difference?
Good point. Excellent point. I don't know. We have to ask Dan, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I think they could pretty much go
Well, that's a good
anywhere,
point,
right?
yeah.
Like if you can survive space travel as a reptilian, then surely,
I'm thinking they kind of look like
you've got that technology to get
Lewis
yourself
Gossett
there.
Jr. in
So,
Enemy Mine, in my mind. That's what I'm thinking.
yeah.
You know what I mean? Drak. His name was Drak. Yeah. What about so that we've covered the royal family, the Bushes, that sort of people. They're the ones, probably the Clintons as well. Rockefellers, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney got chucked in there as well. And I see Angelina Jolie and Justin Bieber aren't immune either. Actually, Miley Cyrus is another one too. Someone saw that she had reptilian. What's the word I'm looking for? Contact lenses. And they put two and two together and said Miley's part of the master race as well.
I don't. Yeah, again, I don't see, like, you've got to look at, this thing on a bigger level. If they are that, if they are the kind of superior race and they are controlling the Illuminati and they have got deep roots in Freemasons and stuff like that, then they're not gonna be, you're not gonna find them. You're gonna struggle to find them. Like your lady who's reading your Spanish news, right? She's not a reptilian. That's too in your face, and it's such a big risk for them to take, right?
And
Based
it's yeah,
by not being known, right? Because we're just all
it's so open to
pitchforks,
abuse
right?
now
You
as well
can
with video
take them down.
technology and that sort of stuff, isn't it? I mean, that who knows if any of these videos are legit? I'm not au fait enough with the technology to know if anything is, but I think if something looks, Sam, you know this from ghost hunting, don't you? That if something looks too good, it usually is. You know what I mean? Because no one makes a fake ghost video or Bigfoot or UFO or something, and makes, well, the Bigfoot stuff's usually blurry, isn't it? So they make it fairly non-identifiable of what you're actually looking at. You know what I mean? Whether it's a source or someone's thrown in the air and taken a picture of, I don't
That
know.
inattention has a lot to answer for. I mean, obviously, if you're going to put this information out there, you're looking for some sort of response. And I've seen quite a few of, and they're usually all the same with the reptilians. It's usually like the eyes glitching, and you see the reptilian eyes for a second, and I can look at that and think to myself that might be a lighting issue with the filming as well. And then of course you see some of the clips that are zoomed in, and they do kind of look like, quite obvious fakes as well.
And we had that discussion, didn't we? We threw a bit of a Mandela effect into it. Dan, you'll probably remember the V mini series back in 1984, where do you remember the show? They did a remake, didn't they? But the original one in 1984, and the Queen, when she eats that rat, she opens up her mouth and kind of reveals that she's secretly a secret salamander. And we think that's some sort of false memory. Sam and I did a show, I think, on Mandela Effect, a few episodes back, and it was about false memories and things that people remember, which might not have actually been what took case. And I'm thinking a lot of people's picture of reptilians is formed by remembering that show. I don't know where you sit with that.
I go back to kind of the bits that I know, which is more, this whole kind of concept of serpent and the reptiles and stuff like that could be more around the, they've taken a human form, to be on this planet. They might have been able to adapt some kind of chameleon kind of cloaking or something, within their bodies. I don't think they're actual, people that have got like a rubber human suit over the top of their reptilian
One
bodies. I
thing
just
I've
think
one
that,
thing I've been interested
it's
in
too risky
is that none of the
to do.
alleged, or not many of the alleged reptilians, or people that allege are reptilians, are athletes or sports people. They all seem to be, as I said, captains of industry or blue blood royals and that sort of stuff. Is there a reason why they're not involved in the athletic pursuits?
I thought, wasn't there one, a basketball
Possibly,
player
I'd have to. I couldn't find anything when I
that
was
they
researching
could have been
it.
one? I don't know.
No, couldn't seem to find anything.
Maybe.
Not that I know of, anyway. I'm sure someone listening probably can help
Yeah.
us out with that. Maybe, yeah, maybe. I reckon a golfer, perhaps. If I had to pick a sport, I reckon
Yeah.
a golfer
Yeah.
would be
Good. Good.
involved.
Good. Yeah. Yeah, well, I just think it's interesting why it's people that have kind of influence over the younger populace, right?
But
Like,
that's,
why Miley Cyrus?
yeah.
Why Justin Bieber? Or why captains of industry? Or like, why would you try and get a younger generation to kind of
But wouldn't
be talking
an
about
athlete,
kind
well,
of the
this
thing
ties
that you're
back to your
trying to hide?
disinformation, doesn't it? But wouldn't an athlete have just as much influence over a young person as them? That's why I was curious that there hasn't really been any discussion at that point. Over there, I don't know. Have you heard of any, Sam?
Yeah, there's obviously it's of course people in higher influence, people like Oprah or Ellen DeGeneres. They're obviously going to reach a higher target. I mean, if assuming they are reptilians, as people say. But yeah, it does come down to their people of influence, and people tend to do what these influencers say, and they could say just about anything, and they'd be followed.
Well, they're the real sheeple, aren't they?
That's
These
right.
kids that follow Instagram models and influencers and that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
It's
that
a
might
trending behavior as well, to follow what these people are saying.
Dan, just to finish off, there has been some chat which has been rebuked by David Icke personally on quite a few occasions, that the whole thing's just a big anti-Semite thing, and the reptilians basically are Jewish, or the Jewish people, and David Icke's got it in for them. Where do you sit with that?
I yeah I don't know I don't know, there's too much, again, I go back to like there's too much reference in history, right? Through so many different places, all talking about similar things happening around similar times, but through different kind of codexes that come from different places. Like, you know, this is a thing that, especially on the kind of the gene splicing and the gene manipulation, and the development of kind of different or cross-gene kind of humans that, I don't know, like for it to be, it's not a contemporary modern thing, right? So for someone to go, hey, look, somebody's got a thing against a religion, you know, and he's taken this information, you know, and I don't know. I don't think. I think it's just someone just trying to
What
just burn
about
someone out. He's
what about
got
a
some pretty
ponytail
interesting
pulling
theories
former
on
Prime
life for them,
Minister John
yeah.
Key? He once got what was the subject of an official information request in New Zealand, that that basically for him to disclose whether he had any reptilian blood in him. Do you guys remember that at all?
I don't remember that one, but
Yeah.
sounds
And
about right.
he had the perfect answer to it. Was no, he said something about along the lines of, no, I'm not a lizard, but I consulted a doctor, not a vet. So, yeah, we can see where he sits on the fence. But, you know, I can see why people asked him. He was involved at Goldman Sachs for a number of years, and he was known as a smiling assassin. He'd sort of come smiling over to your desk and then tell you you're fired. And, you know, he dealt with some serious money men over there, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. He did some pretty big deals,
Yeah, absolutely.
from I don't know too much about it, but I've kind of read a little bit of
Not
read
a
a little bit of
problem.
it about him. He's pretty
We've come to the end of the
extraordinary
show,
looking bloke.
Occam's Razor,
So.
episode 27. I'm going to thank Sam Collier from hauntedauckland.com. What's happening on the Haunted Auckland calendar, Sam? I see you're looking for some places to investigate, aren't you? Put the word
Other than our own four walls, I think. We're
out.
just trying to look at doing a few educational videos from home and things like that at the moment. Hopefully we're going to try and tease some investigations up once this lockdown is over, whenever that is. Obviously we've had a few cancellations over the past few weeks.
Yeah, sure.
We had Wairarapu and another investigation at Huia Museum that we've missed out on, but hopefully we can move those forward to later on in the year.
Absolutely. That sounds good. And Dan, thanks for coming on the show anyway. You got a book recommendation for someone who'd like to be more learned in the topic of reptilians.
Well, yeah, so you just it's more around the kind of the genealogy and the development of kind of Adam 1 and Adam 2 and the Sons of the Serpent and Anunnaki. So Michael Tarazian, you can find him on YouTube. An interesting kind of one of his to watch, there's quite a few of them, is his presentation at the Conspiracy Conference 2005. And he's also got the kind of during his lectures are 2 hours long. They're pretty thick and pretty in-depth, so kind of stick with it. I think some people find them quite interesting. Stick with it. And during that, he also talks about a couple of books that he's got. But he's quite a kind of learned guy. Basically, straight away he says, like, you know, like let's not talk about the Illuminati. You should all know about them already. So he kind of starts you off right at a quite a
Well,
good point where
he obviously
you
knows his
should be up to
audience,
speed with
doesn't
some
he?
certain things if
Because
you're interested
it
in
is
that type of
the
thing. Oh,
thing,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean,
100%.
it's obviously entered pop culture now, so it's
Yeah,
likely to get
there you
more
go.
hits from via that route. But you know, it's a Nietzsche thing. You know, as Sam will tell you, people involved in the paranormal tend to stick together. So awesome. Well, I'm going home to download that maybe on Audible or.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never read books anyway. I listen to them far too lazy. So anyway, thanks for coming on.
Commercial pilots have very often
lads, and that was Occam's Razor episode